ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ గ్రంథరాజ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 8 చాప్టర్ 24 టెక్స్ట్ 2 and 3. Chapter entitled Matsya, the Lord's Fish Incarnation. Archita Prabhu, should I chant just text 2? Both of them have purport. Okay, we'll chant text 2.
యద్ అర్థం అదదాద్ రూపం మత్స్యం లోక జుగుస్పితం. తమ ప్రకృతి దుర్మార్సం కర్మగ్రస్త ఇవేశ్వరా. యదర్థం అదదాద్ రూపం మత్స్యం లోక జుగుప్సితం. తమ ప్రకృతి దుర్మార్సం కర్మగ్రస్త ఇవేశ్వరా.
మాతజీస్ మాతజీస్ ప్లీజ్.
Amen.
So I'll chant text 3 by myself and then we'll read word for word.
Etanno Bhagavan Sarvam Yathavad Vaktum Arhasi Uttama Sloka Charitam Sarva Loka Sukhavaham Yadartam.
For what purpose?
Adadat.
Accepted.
Rupam.
Form.
Matsyam.
Of a fish.
Loka Jugupsitam.
Which is certainly not very favorable in this world.
Tama.
In the mode of ignorance.
Prakriti.
Such behavior.
Durmarsam.
Which is certainly very painful. And condemned.
Karma grasta.
One who is under the laws of karma.
Eva.
Like.
Ishvara.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Etat.
All these facts.
Na.
Unto us.
Bhagavan.
O most powerful sage.
Sarvam.
Everything.
Yathavat.
Properly.
Vaktum arhasi.
Kindly describe.
Uttama sloka charitam.
The pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Sarva loka sukha avaham.
By hearing of which everyone becomes happy. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. What was the purpose for which the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepted the abominable form of a fish, exactly as an ordinary living being accepts different forms under the laws of karma? The form of a fish is certainly condemned and full of terrible pain. Oh my Lord, what was the purpose of this incarnation? Kindly explain this to us, for hearing about the pastimes of the Lord is auspicious for everyone. Purport. Parikshit Maharaj's question to Sukadeva Goswami was based on this principle stated by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 4:7.
Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam sajamyaham.
Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at the time I descend myself. The Lord appears in each incarnation to save the world from irreligious principles and especially to protect His devotees, paritranaya sadhunam. Vamana Dev, for example, appeared to save the devotee Bali Maharaj. Similarly, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepted the abominable form of a fish, He must have done so to favor some devotee. Parikshit Maharaj was eager to know about the devotee for whom the Supreme Lord accepted this form.
Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Devamrita Swaminiti Namine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pasyate Adhistarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavani Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
We'd like to welcome our special guests this morning to the Hare Krishna Temple in Los Angeles and to the morning
Srimad Bhagavatam class. This is actually an advanced class. In the evenings we have more introductory. We'll try to relate to you as much as possible. But bear with us. And at the end you can ask questions, just like most people hope for $1 million, the Hare Krishnas hope people would ask us questions. So any question you may have, feel free to ask. So by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, we can understand the unparalleled position of Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam explains, Janmadi asyataha anvayat itaratasya arteshu abhigyaswarat. That Krishna is the source of everything and is all powerful and all knowing and is the supreme personality of Godhead. And at the end of the day, it's only Krishna that comes to the rescue whenever anyone or anywhere in the material world there's problems. Even when the demigods get in trouble, Krishna appeared. Like we read earlier, cantos of Bhagavatam, when the demigods and demons were churning ocean, Krishna appeared. Krishna appears to rescue this world from the demons like Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu. And we also heard how Krishna rescued the Vedas from the demons named Madhu, Kaitaba. And he appears as Rama, Narasimha, Matsya, like we're reading Matsya, Avatar, Varaha. And in the beginning, Krishna actually gave knowledge to Brahma. And Krishna, as we know, he came to this world and he left behind Bhagavad Gita for all of our benefit. And recently, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya, and he gave us this easiest process of self-realization, the chanting of the holy names of God, chanting the holy names of Krishna. Just like this morning, you know, we are singing again and again different prayers, but these are all glorifying Krishna. These are just different names of Krishna. And people all over the world, they have so much misconception about, you know, their own religion. And also when it comes to Hinduism or Sanatana Dharma, people have all kinds of misunderstanding what it means, Hinduism. Like when I'm distributing some, you know, books, recently somebody was asking me, somebody on the street, says, oh, you guys have a temple for the rats. I've seen temple for the rats. And they say, oh, I've seen also a temple for monkeys. So can you explain that? And another girl was asking, oh, what is the name of that, you know, god with the elephant face that sometimes, you know, drinks milk? And then somebody else is asking, like, you know, there are millions of gods. Why there are millions of gods? And somebody else is saying, oh, I'm into Hinduism, like Kundalini raising from the, you know, spine all the way to the neck. And somebody else is saying it's all about energy, yoga, and, you know, breath, fire and light, and on and on goes. All misconception. So many misconceptions, what it means to understand these ancient teachings of India. There's this famous person who's a guru and who's so-called, you know, a Hindu. And he gave a talk in the TV saying, oh, Hinduism means, you know, the beauty of Hinduism means like anything goes. There is no right or wrong. We are open. We are open and we are growing. Like my guru would say, even a trash can is open and a tumor is growing. So what's the use of this kind of
you know, being open and growing. And they say, like, we're, you know, into anything and everything. So these are all different misunderstanding and misinterpretation of the pure teachings. And then we have to explain to people, explaining them the purity of Bhagavad Gita and Krishna's exalted position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's the goal of any religion, to fall in love with God. And that's the same in the Hare Krishna movement, or if you want to call it Hinduism. The goal is to love God without any material motivations. And the Vedic scriptures are full of descriptions, volumes and volumes and volumes of descriptions, how exalted the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is. And there is no parallel, there is no comparison. He is the topmost. And of course, other religions of the world call Krishna in different names. Some call him Allah, some call him Jehovah, Yahweh, Father. But he's the same person. So even though we may read the Vedic knowledge, we may read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and understand these things, but we actually need association of bhaktas. We need pure devotees to show us how to love God, how to love Krishna, and how to surrender to Him. We may know theoretically that God is great, but we need examples to show us how to love Him, how to serve Him in an authorized way. Like one time, our founder Prabhupada was giving a talk in a university, and he said, you know, to go to God and ask Him for daily bread every day, he said, that's not love of God, that's love of bread. So he was, you know, making a point that, you know, we have to go to God and ask Him, how can I serve you? Not like, you're my, you know, order supplier. So we need great devotees to show us how to love God. Because in this world, there is so many people that claim to be this or that. But very rare we find a pure devotee of the Lord. Even the Mayavadis or impersonalists, you know, they don't actually believe they actually think that we are also God. Even though we are teeny parts of God, the Mayavadis, the impersonalists, they think that we are all God and God doesn't have any form. So even Mayavadis, they actually give the same examples that we give. They read the same books we read. They would also happily sit down with us and chant Hare Krishna mantra or any other mantra you chant. They'll be glad to chant with you. But at the end of the day, they would say that, you know, to fix our minds on the pastimes of the Lord or activities of the Lord, the form of the Lord, is just a means to get to the impersonal, so we can go beyond all these pastimes, name, form, and attain the, you know, the impersonal Brahman. And they also say when the formless assumes a form, and the, you know, the Krishna or Rama, we love the activities that the formless performs when he takes on the form. So all this we can hear, but it's very confusing. Unless we are really trained, we can't understand who is a really, really pure devotee of the Lord. So Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, avajananti mam mudha manusyum tanum asritam. Krishna explains that fools deride Him when He appears in the human-like form or any other form He accepts. Sambhavami Atma Mayaya, Krishna explained that He appears in His original spiritual form, which is not made of matter, which is inexhaustible. It's spiritual, it's eternal. So what's the point of Krishna coming to this world? We can see in the purport, Prabhupada explains very nicely, that Krishna comes to this world, God comes to this world to show mercy to the conditioned souls. There is few of us that have turned away from God, turned away from Krishna, and we're trying to be independent and happy. So Krishna comes once again to bring us back to Him. And not only Krishna comes, He also sends His pure devotees, His confidential men to this world for the same purpose. Like Prabhupada would say, you know, Krishna sent Lord Jesus Christ for the same purpose, to reawaken our lost relationship with Krishna. And we have forgotten at the moment, and we have misplaced our love. Originally we have for God, originally we have for Krishna. We have misplaced our love in so many things. At the moment, we are, you know, ruled by these material qualities like lust, greed, anger, envy, pride, all these things. We are being ruled by these material qualities. It's explained just like when you have a heartburn, like acid reflux, it's not a very pleasant experience. Like that, when we have all these material qualities bothering us in the heart, you know, we are not happy. So, basically it boils down to, you know, money and opposite sex. Everybody is greedy. We have forgotten Krishna. And we are trying to get pleasure from money and opposite sex. So much greed. It's like this joke, you know, there's this guy, he's talking to his friend, and the friend asks the guy, like, why are you looking sad? Why are you looking morose? Oh, you know, 3 weeks ago, my grandmother died, and she left me some inheritance, some money behind. Okay. 2 weeks ago, you know, my uncle died, and he also left some inheritance. Okay, that's a, you know, good thing. Last week my father died, and he also left me some money behind. So the friend is saying, so you must be loaded. Why you, you know, why you complaining? Why you look sad? Oh, this week nobody died. I'm still waiting, you know, for some opulence, some money to come. And there's another example of this person who's like very, very miserly, very stingy. You know, he's so greedy for money that he was going with two of his friends in a boat. And in the middle of the ocean, this guy says, okay, let me count how much I have, you know, just to make sure, I just want to refresh my memory. So he starts counting the money. And then a penny actually drops into the ocean. So this person has never, you know, even spent a penny, you know. So to save the penny, he jumped into the ocean. But the thing is, he doesn't know how to swim. So he's like suffering, he's struggling. And one of the friends is, say, you know, say, give me your hand, give me your hand, give me your hand. But this guy is not giving his hand. So the other friend said, you know, his whole life he's never given anything. So just change the phrase and say, take my hand. So this guy, friend said, take my hand. Immediately he grabbed onto the hand and came out of the water. So this world is like that. It's, you know, everybody is just like so greedy, working so hard just for, you know, making some money. And also this attraction for opposite sex. There was a king. This is actually a good story for brahmacharis. celibate, aspiring celibate monks we have here wearing orange color. So this king was doing so nice, you know, he was powerful, really, really powerful person. And he was so focused and he was, you know, really amazing. And all of a sudden, he came across this, really beautiful woman. And then he became so much in love with her that he lost focus. He lost, you know, purpose in life. He became like intoxicated, infatuated with this beauty of this girl. And as usual, he was writing so many poems glorifying the beauty and so on and so forth. So somebody gave the king a diamond and said, give this to somebody you really, really love. That's the condition. So naturally, the king gave it to this girl, you know. But the king also thought, you know, because I'm so special, I'm so powerful, just because I love this girl, she must also love me, you know. It's natural, this is the pride of a conditioned soul. We think we're like so special and we deserve anything and everything. So the king thought, if I gave it to her, naturally she loves me also so much, she will give it to me. But to the king's surprise, later on, some other girl came and gave him the ring. So he was curious, how did you get the ring? Oh, you know how you gave it to the girl and she gave it to another guy and the guy gave it to me and I like you, so I'm giving it back to you. So the king became so frustrated that he started writing poems about detachment. And he started writing poems about, you know, love for God, love for Krishna. So this world is like that. It's like sometimes we have this trap for flies, like sticky trap. So this world is full of distractions. And to get a human form of life is actually very rare. And the human form is wasted if we don't actually take shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord and actually learn from him, you know, how to serve Krishna. To approach a spiritual master, to approach a bona fide guru is actually very, very important to understand how to love God and serve God. It's like this one time, Ramanujacharya, he was going to meet his guru. And the guru was also coming to meet Ramanujacharya. And they met somewhere in a forest out in the middle of nowhere. And Ramanujacharya asked his guru, can you please give me initiation? Can you accept me formally as your student? And the guru said, why don't we wait till a holiday, you know, special day, holy day. We go to the temple and then I can give you initiation. And Ramanujacharya said, you know, just like if somebody has fever, you can ask them to come back next week. But if somebody has a snake bite, you can't tell them to, you know, come back later. It's like urgent. So Ramanujacharya was begging his guru, saying, you know, the human form of life is very rare. Any minute I can die. So I have no guarantee that, you know, I'm going to live for even a few hours. So please accept me as your disciple right now. So the guru initiated him right there. And the guru can actually train us. We have so many shortcomings in this world, but the guru can train us, even with all these shortcomings, how to attain God. It's like there is an example of this boy. He wanted to learn how to fight, but he had only one arm. He had only right arm. He didn't have any like left arm. So he went to a teacher and they said to the teacher, you know, I want to learn how to fight. And the teacher, being so expert, he gave him this one stance, this one step, said, okay, you just practice this step again and again and again.
and you will be the best of the fighters. So this boy did it. He went and trained the same step again and again and again. After 2 years, he actually went for the championship. And to his surprise, he actually won the championship. Because what happened is, this teacher, this master taught him this step, and for the opponent, for this other guy to fight this handicapped guy, he had to hold on to his left arm. But this boy didn't have a left arm, so he kept, you know, beating all these champions. And because he did the same thing, sometimes we want like different kirtan ragas and different books and different, you know, we want all the time change, you know, mode of passion. But sometimes we have to just perfect what we have given. We have to just get into whatever we are given. So we are handicapped in so many ways, but the guru knows still how, you know, to train us, how to be victorious. And without a spiritual master, we cannot approach Krishna. Srila Prabhupada would say how Jesus Christ was a guru. When he said, I'm the way to God, that's true, because without the mercy of the guru, you cannot approach God directly. You have no access. There is this personality, this great personality. His name was Kanchipurna. He was actually one of Ramanujacharya's guru. And Kanchipurna was so special that he would fan the deity of Varadaraj. Every day he would fan the deity of Varadaraj. And Kanchipurna was so advanced in his emotions and consciousness. He would remember all these amazing pastimes, even though he's just offering a simple fan to the Lord. Like one time Kanchipurna was fanning. He was fanning in such a way that he would fan and the breeze from Lakshmi's form would touch Vishnu's form like that. He would fan it such a way because he remembered this pastime, how when Ram and Sita were separated, Ramchandra was in the shores of South India, Rameshwaram. And Ram was so much in separation from Sita that he was praying, at least the breeze that touched the form of Sita would come and touch him. He was so much in separation. So meditating on this, Kanchipurna was fanning and the Lord was so happy. So the deity actually said to Kanchipurna, you know, it's so hot, you guys close the doors and you leave. It's like 9 o'clock. Why don't you stay behind and you just fan me all night? So everybody left. So Kanchipurna stayed behind to fan the Varadaraj deity. And Kanchipurna started thinking in his mind, wow, what an amazing fortune. Maybe I can do this every day. Maybe I can do this every week. Maybe all year, all life, maybe even in the spiritual world. And then the deity said, hang on a sec, you know, I'm giving you an inch and you're taking a mile. I'm giving you one evening service, you're already thinking of the spiritual world. And Kanchipurna is thinking, is there anything wrong, my Lord? It says, I have no right to allow you in the spiritual world because you don't have a guru. You don't have a spiritual master. You think like you can approach the spiritual world on your own. So Kanchipurna realized his shortcoming and he was in a predicament because he was such an amazing devotee. He was so famous for being so close to the Lord. He was thinking, who is going to accept me as a disciple? It's impossible. As soon as everybody see me, they bow down to me. So he actually disguised himself as a rickshawala. And he went to this personality, this really older devotee, and he was taking him places. He was hiding his real identity and he was serving him just like a rickshaw person. And then at the end, this great devotee actually gave him a chadar, a used chadar, used cloth. Say, okay, you know, you served me so nicely, you can have it. And then he came back to the deity and he was fanning with so much enthusiasm. The deity said, what happened? Oh, I got chastised by a pure devotee. I got maha cloth from a pure devotee. Now, you know,
I can serve you because I'm following your instructions like that. So this is the process. The process is to approach a spiritual master to get Krishna's mercy. And in this age, the process of self-realization is actually made very easy. In other times, you know, you have to go to forest and meditate, you have to worship the deities, you have to perform sacrifices, so many things. But in this age, we just chant the names of Krishna and we can perfect our human form of life. It's called mantra yoga. Just like when you have unnecessary weight, when you have extra pounds, you go to the gym to shed the weight, shed the pounds. Similarly, our minds are full of these unnecessary thoughts. So this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is like the exercise for the mind, and also it cleanses the mind. And we become free from all these unwanted thoughts and desires, and we become purified. We can become pure lovers of God. And we have to take time to chant. We have to make time to chant. It's like we know this, Arjuna has this name called Gudakesha. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is called Gudakesha, means conqueror of sleep. One time Arjuna was eating, and all of a sudden these lights went off. Still, he knows exactly what the food is and how to put in his mouth. So, he thought, if I can eat in darkness, why can't I practice fighting in darkness? So he would train all night with his bow and arrows. So that's how he got this name, Gudakesha. So we have to practice, we have to chant, we have to read Prabhupada's books. Because practice makes perfect. Just like if you have a pencil and the pencil is not sharp, it's very difficult to write. But it's not a waste of time actually to sharpen the pencil. Take time to sharpen the pencil because you can write nicely. Similarly, one thing is to have belief in God. And another thing is to actually put in practice all the teachings and gain an experience. Because that's what is going to take us to the distance. And by doing these activities, we can perfect our life. And also it's our duty to actually share this knowledge with others. It's very important. There is no greater pleasure to, you know, give these teachings to others and see how their lives change. It's so inspiring. People come in the door one way and then they leave with change of consciousness. It's a very, very special experience. And by giving God to others, giving Krishna to others, we also get Krishna. The more we give Krishna, the more we get Krishna. And it's in the purport, Prabhupada is talking about, you know, how a fish, the existence of a fish is so much suffering. Actually, the Vedas explain the fish, aquatics, they don't, I mean, like Jalajala Navalakani, Stavara Jangsa Vimsati. It says the aquatics are the lowest in the evolution of consciousness. And they don't actually feel that much pain, like compared to a cow, like a lion, a cow, a monkey. These animals, they actually have advanced a nervous system. And they give birth, they feed the mammals, they just experience emotions, pain, pleasure, just like us. So if a fish is suffering, Prabhupada is writing in the purport, translation, you know, if the fish can suffer so much, what to speak of a cow? It's too much suffering. Therefore, we don't engage in animal killing. Because in the Vedic scriptures, it's explained, there is a soul within every being, every body. That's what makes it grow, give birth,
experience pain, pleasure like that. There's a soul there. So we have no right to inflict pain just for the satisfaction of our taste. Like I was listening to a lecture, Prabhupada was saying, you know, just like when somebody kills, like one person kills a human being, then this person is hanged. And Prabhupada was saying that the same law should be applied for all beings. Like, you know, even if you're killing cow or a goat or a chicken, Prabhupada is saying, like, it sounds heavy, but that's actually a broad vision of a saintly person. Like Saint Francis, he said, you know, sister tree and brother bird and like that. He was seeing all beings as brothers and sisters, which is true. Because every being is part and parcel of God and they have right to live. So we have no right. This is laws of nature. Just like, you know, in the streets, if you make a small mistake, like you parked in the wrong place, you get like a $60 ticket. But if you're speeding, you know, if you're going like 120, 130 miles, then you get like a $500 ticket. Similarly, laws of nature, also there's so many gradations of karma. So when we're, you know, killing a fish, there is karma. But if you're killing like cow and other advanced beings with advanced nervous system, there's like a heavy reaction. So this process is very simple. This Krishna consciousness process is very simple. We just eat cruelty-free vegetarian food offered to Krishna. And we chant the names of Krishna. Just by this simple, you know, process, we become purified and we become more and more pure lovers of God, which is the, you know, goal of all the religions of the world. So any questions or comments? Amala Bhakta Prabhu. Oh yeah, this is coming.
Thank you for a very nice class and so many nice illustrations and examples. My question is this. We chant the holy name of Krishna, Rama, these are considered very sanctified names, or very holy names. So perhaps you could explain to us what makes them holy. For example, if I say Jack, Jim, John, or Joe, but I'm saying Krishna. Now Krishna, when I say that, it has some special spiritual qualities to give me some spiritual advancement. Whereas if I say Hari Joe, or Hari Jim, or Hari Jane, doesn't have that. So maybe you can explain to us what constitutes its spirituality, which allows us to, as you said before, to purify our mind, our emotions, our intelligence, and our consciousness through the chanting of that name. Whereas that will not happen if chanting other names.
Thank you. It's there in all the world religions, chanting the names of God, like the Bible says, hallowed be thy name. Because God and his name are non-different. God is absolute. So his name, form, his activities, they're all non-different from him. Just like in this material world, you know, we have this form, but this is not us. Because we're going to change it very soon. And we have a name and it's not us. You can change your name, you can change your religion, you can change your country. So many things, it's all changing. But Krishna, our God, his name and him are non-different. So when we are calling upon the names of God, we are directly contacting the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. We come into the spiritual energy. So therefore, you know, when we're chanting, just like you put
iron in fire, the iron also becomes red hot. Similarly, by chanting the names of God, we are contacting, we are associating with God. Therefore, we become a godly. And all the unwanted qualities, they, you know, evaporate, they disappear. And we become, we can see our original spiritual identity. You want to add something? Did I forget? Thank you. Anything else? Bhaktavatar.
Thank you. Thank you for a spectacular class. Also, the holy name of God is non-sectarian. The chanting of this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra was illustrated last night. We were on Harinam Sankirtan, and these two Muslim ladies came walking by, and there were three children, and two of them were in strollers and one was walking. So when they got near the Harinam party, the one, the older girl, she started dancing like anything. And then the two other kids, they jumped out of the strollers and they also started dancing. So the ladies, they didn't say, get back. You know, they said they were enjoying it. And they were taking pictures of the kids dancing, taking pictures of the devotees, and it was really nice. Then she took a card and, you know, explained to her about the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra and invited her to the temple, and she was very friendly. And so it's something which is not just for Hindus. It's something which is for everybody. It's universal.
Yeah, there was a person yesterday, he asked me, he saw us singing and dancing, he asked me, oh, they're just purely dancing out of love for God? And then I looked at him like, how did you know? So this is the heavy, you know, this thought came to me like really strong, therefore I'm asking. I asked him, what do you do? He said, oh, I'm a Christian person, and I'm also an engineer. But he could see, this is the first time he's seeing the devotees singing and dancing, but he could tell these people are singing and dancing out of love for God. So he was very impressed. Everybody looks so happy. Are they on something? So no, we don't take any other stuff. So everybody can sense. Thank you so much. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.